This is the Pittsburgh Section National Council Jewish Women Oral History Program 2. Shirley Stolzer and Gabby Dinman are interviewing Dr. Florence Marcus on this Thursday afternoon, September 17, 1992, at the Heritage Shadyside. And this time we have Dr. Marcus sitting on the chair, and we are delighted to see her sitting up. And would you please tell me your name now?
My name is Florence Marcus.
Thank you. Dr. Marcus, I'm going to go over some of the things we talked about because I really want to get a more in-depth picture of the people and places with whom you were acquainted and that we have never really known firsthand, only through literature or advertisement. I recall that you said that in about 1925, I believe, you went to medical school.
Yes, and I entered.
You entered a medical school. And I wondered, I know you had taken nursing, and I wondered what inspired you to go on to be a doctor. Where did you go? What kind of place was it?
I always told the doctors. The nurses, when I knew more than the doctors, I thought I ought to study medicine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's true.
Was that your own inspiration? Was it encouraged from your home?
Entirely my own idea.
Uh-huh. And when you decided, hey, I ought to go in and be a doctor, where did you apply? What, did you apply to many schools as the boys do to and girls do today?
I applied to Pitt.
Uh-huh.
Because the dean of Pitt and the associate dean knew me for my nursing.
I see.
And I didn't think there was any question about them not taking me.
Uh-huh. In terms of your qualifications?
Yes, my qualifications were good. And then the fact that I had been a nurse for 10 years, they knew I was dependable. Mm-hmm. And since they only took two women, I was one of them. The other one was a girl who babysat for the librarian at Pitt. He didn't want to lose his babysitter, so she got into medical school too.
Well, was it limited to two women, or just happened to take two women?
No, limited to two at that time.
So there was a quota on women?
Yes.
How about in terms of your being Jewish? Was there any quota as there has been in later years?
There was a quota on Jewish. Mm-hmm. They took, I believe it was six Jewish fellows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a quota on that.
Mm-hmm. And it must have been for that time and place where women, as today, they go into the professions. At that time, not only were you going into a profession, but a very special kind of profession for a woman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Were you aware of that this was quite unusual?
Oh, yes, I was aware of it. Everybody made me aware of it.
They did make you aware of it. You mean at the school or?
Every place, you know. Mm-hmm. She's studying medicine. Oh.
That was unusual. Yeah. Uh-huh. But that didn't deter you?
No.
Mm-hmm. You weren't concerned about the length of your study program and the severity of the study itself?
No.
Mm-hmm. Were you encouraged at home to proceed?
I can't say I was discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
I think my father was very pleased.
Uh-huh.
And my mother, too.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't the kind of people that spoke out about their enthusiasm, uh-huh. but they were very pleased. And my brother was very pleased.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting because his educational background was limited.
Yeah.
And so was your sister, and yet you were the one, you already had a nursing degree, and you were going on even further. Mm-hmm. Well, they had to be proud of you.
Yeah, well, when I think about my brother and the fact that he had no formal education, I always have to think I never knew a young man that was as well educated as he,
mm-hmm.
from reading and friends and...
Well, that's something to be proud of, too, that he had innate intelligence.
Yeah.
Tell me, when you attended medical school, now you know what the medical schools are like today. Can you make any kind of comparison as to the kind of program you went through and what young people go through today?
Well, the only comparison I can make is that in the beginning, the subjects are the same. Everybody has to learn the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, I really don't know in what order the things go on.
I see.
Because they're so far removed now from me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in the beginning, everybody learns anatomy and
right.
and medicine and I can't think of all
yes.
the things that we learn in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. But do you think it was as intensive as young people are put through today?
Oh, I think
long
it was
hours?
Just as intensive as
you
young
do.
People then. They were as intense mm-hmm. about everything as the people are today.
Mm-hmm. Now today, a lot of the young residents are paid for their services.
No.
Were
no,
you?
No such thing as payment. I think we were interns. I think as an intern, we got $10 a month.
Mm-hmm. And that was?
That was it.
That was it. And did you eat and sleep at the hospital? Did they take care of
yes.
your living
yes.
expenses?
Yes.
Uh-huh. But you only had spending money of $10.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And today, a lot of the young people say that what they give them isn't quite enough.
No, they get $15,000,
$18,000
a year.
Mm-hmm. Were most of the people in your class unmarried or married?
I would say most of them were unmarried.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a good many married, a good many were even a couple older than I
mm-hmm.
that had been in World War I.
I see. Oh, and then came back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did the professors, were they the kind of people who accepted that here is a woman
yes.
coming into
the
our class?
The professors all accepted me. I had
they
no
did.
Difficulty.
Uh-huh. So you were comfortable with whatever they were coming up with?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, this Dr. Wexler,
yes.
who encouraged you
yes.
to become a doctor, as I recall, what was your relationship with him? Were you part of his team?
I worked for him.
As a nurse?
As a nurse.
I see.
Yeah, I was in charge of his little hospital.
Uh-huh. And he thought you should go on.
And I said to him, I dropped out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I'll just never get anywhere. And he said, yes. He says, you just call up the state. And they'll tell you when they give the high school exams. And I called them, and they were giving them the next day.
Oh, my.
So the next day, I took the exams. And I passed them all except English 2. You know, they gave them like the high school one.
Right.
English 2. And English 2 was to name 10 poems from the Golden Treasury. Well, I had never heard of the Golden Treasury at that time. And I named 10 poems that were not in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
but you knew 10 poems.
Oh, I knew hundreds of them.
Uh-huh.
And then they... let's see, I want to say something about that. Then they gave me a repeat test.
Uh-huh.
And the repeat test was to tell the story of Ruth.
Oh, of the Bible. Mm-hmm.
So I was in.
Oh, my. Good for you.
I couldn't tell it today, but I could.
Good for you. And they accepted that.
Well, yeah.
That meant that you were going on to college at that point?
Yes.
So you had to go into Pitt pre-med.
Yes, I went into Pitt pre-med.
Uh-huh. How many years was your pre-med course?
2 years.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
And that, when Dr. Wexler was very helpful to me, because I said, all that time. He says, what else do you have but time?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you go ahead? And I was past 21. And he said, they'll take you as a special student if you're past 21.
Oh.
And then accept you when you finish the 2 years.
At graduate school.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, were you having to take an exam to get into med school? Did they give you
no? If we passed the 2 years of undergraduate,
uh-huh.
that was it.
I see.
We took a lot of chemistry, and
yes,
chemistry was the thing they wanted in medical school.
Mm-hmm. And I suspect you did well in chemistry,
yeah,
so you had no problem on that score.
No problem then.
Uh-huh. I see. And then when you went on, and you, I know you went in for your internship and residency, I recall what you told me about that. But then you said you opened up an office in Bloomfield.
Yes.
After you received
after
your medical degree.
After I, yes.
Uh-huh. What did opening up an office at that time entail?
It didn't mean $50,000.
No. That's what I'm wondering. What did it entail in terms of...
It entailed borrowing $500 from Dr. Webster.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. And a couple of chairs and a table and the...
Examining table.
Mm-hmm. And some laboratory things.
Mm-hmm. That's
interesting. I don't know whether you were at my house, whether you noticed the two little children's chairs.
No, I didn't.
I'm sorry, I didn't notice them. Two little, you know, children's chairs.
Uh-huh.
And those were the two things that I treated myself to for the reception room.
Ah.
And they are now, 75 years old.
Oh, my.
And my niece, Barbara, saved them for me. Mm-hmm. And Abby had them redone. And that's my...
That's your antique pieces. Yes. Oh, I'm sure. And how did you... get people to come to see you?
That's interesting. You stick out a shingle and somebody comes into the office.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting because people were not accustomed to women doctors.
No. And it was strange that one time a woman said to me, after I'd taken care of her and mm-hmm. the children, she said, "I'm sorry that my husband wouldn't want to come to a woman doctor. That's too bad."
Uh-huh.
About 3 days later, this man calls from work, and he says, "Oh, I have a splitting headache. Could I come in and see you?"
Uh-huh.
So I had the whole family.
Uh-huh. Did you usually see a whole family, mother, father, and children,
yes,
or did you just see adults?
No, I saw them all.
Uh-huh.
I saw a lot of children.
So you were really in general practice,
yes,
then?
Yes, I was in general.
Did you, and they, I guess there weren't that many pediatricians as such around.
Well, there weren't trained pediatricians mm-hmm. like residencies, because there was no residencies that time.
In pediatrics?
In anything.
Oh.
I think I told you that the older doctors who mm-hmm. wanted something extra went to Europe.
That's right.
And I remember telling you that Dr. Webster went to Dublin for obstetrics.
Yeah.
See, and then they came back, and shortly after, well, the year that I was an intern was the first year of residency,
mm-hmm.
and Sidney Rosenberg was the first resident in Pittsburgh.
I see.
In what area?
Pardon?
In what specialty?
Surgery.
Yes. That's interesting. So you knew Sidney Rosenberg back at that time?
I knew his family, every one of them.
Did you?
Everyone.
And so your practice expanded as one told another about this great woman doctor.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And did it increase considerably?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. But you never needed an assistant.
Yes.
You did need an
assistant? I did. Let's see, what year was that about? I don't know, about 45 I had an assistant.
Uh-huh.
We were just talking about him the other day. We were very busy and he worked hard.
Mm-hmm.
But he was very money-minded.
Oh.
That used to annoy my mother. And anyhow, so after a while he said he wasn't going to work that hard in Pittsburgh, so he was going to California. And he went out to California, and he went to work for Kaiser Permanente.
Oh, yes.
And in a little while, he wrote me a letter, and he says, "Why do you want to work so hard? Come on, take a job with Kaiser."
Uh-huh. But you decide to let
no,
go.
No, I wouldn't.
How did you charge in comparison to today's
fees?
Well,
a dollar for an office visit.
Uh-huh.
And $2 for a home visit and $5 for a night visit.
Oh,
boy.
That was special. And did you keep a record or send out statements as they do today?
Well, I kept a record, but I didn't send out statements.
You didn't send out statements. They usually paid when they came in?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What made you decide to close that office?
It was after World War II, mm-hmm. and during the war, I had been in charge of pediatrics at Shadyside, and I did all the work of all the doctors that were away, and I was tired, and I thought, it's enough of this, I ought to find something easier to do.
Yes. Did you have night hours there at Bloomfield office?
Yeah.
Oh, you did have night hours.
Yeah.
So that was a long day for you.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Did you have limits of hours written on your door, or did you just...
No.
You took whoever came when.
Uh-huh. I only remember one Hadassah member, a friend of mine, who said she wanted to come that night.
Uh-huh.
She was calling at 10 o'clock, and she wanted to come, and I said, I can't see you tonight. Night. She says, I don't mind. I said, you don't mind. I said, you don't mind, but I can't think straight. I'm tired.
Good for you. How did you manage to go out on night visits? That must have been difficult for you.
Well, at first I didn't own a car,
uh-huh.
and I walked in Bloomfield.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise I took taxis.
Oh, I see. But you felt safe walking in the Bloomfield area?
Safe.
You weren't afraid?
Never afraid.
And how about North Side? Because I know you went to the North Side.
I'm never afraid any place.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Mm-hmm. You carried your little black bag, and that was your identification?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sometime in Bloomfield, if I walked in the street in the middle of the night, there'd be a fellow walking, and he would whistle. And he would whistle because he was scared.
He wasn't scared of you.
Yes, he was scared of the lady in the black
bag. Oh, I see. You got to know him, huh? Uh-huh. Well, I know, too, that in 1947, you opted to go to Harvard.
Yes.
To get your Master of Public Health. Public Health was a new field.
Well, fairly. What would you say, Mrs. Denman? You know more about it.
Well, the Pittsburgh School of Public Health
didn't open
until 1950.
No.
50 or 51.
I went before they opened.
But Johns Hopkins School of Public Health.
What's that?
Johns Hopkins had a school of public health.
Johns
Hopkins in Baltimore?
Oh, Hopkins, yeah.
They've had one forever.
Oh, yes.
And Harvard, too, I think.
But I'm interested in what motivated you to go into public health service, because many doctors may go in, but as I recall, not too many Jewish physicians
went into maternal and child health, and I went in because I thought if you could do so much for one person, maybe you could do a lot if you worked with groups.
I see. Because there wasn't any public health medical service here at the time, was there in Pittsburgh?
Were baby clinics.
Oh, baby clinics.
Yes, uh-huh. There were baby clinics.
Mm-hmm. Because I thought that was a relatively unusual field.
No, there were baby clinics.
Did you need your master's to work in public health, or did you just want it?
You didn't need it, but I wanted it. I wanted to learn what it was all about.
Uh-huh. Well, you must have had some association with it made you think about leaving here.
Well, I had some association with my reading and my thinking. I always thought of Hull House in Chicago and of Lillian Wald's place in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought along those lines, and I thought I ought to know more to mm-hmm. do something like that.
Mm-hmm. Where I thought those places were more... social service agencies.
Yes, well, I didn't entirely realize that at the time. To me, teaching, social work, and medicine and public health
all went together. I see. So you decided to do something on your own.
Yeah.
Good. Now, you mentioned that the March of Dimes gave you some scholarship money.
I don't remember whether they must parents to pay the tuition.
Uh-huh. Did you pursue them, or were they interested in you?
I asked them.
Oh.
They didn't pursue me. I asked them. Mm-hmm. And then they wrote to Harvard and asked if Harvard would accept me.
Oh, so they did help to get you in.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What was it like at Harvard? It was always such a prestigious school, and
yeah.
I just wondered if it was that prestigious at that time.
I don't think it's a bit different than
any other
than
place.
Kindergarten.
Uh-huh.
No, there's. I just think the name Harvard. In fact, my sister always scolds me because most of the time I say I went to school in Boston.
Ah.
She says, "Why don't you say you went to Harvard?"
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. But you didn't feel quite that elite feeling when you went there?
No.
Did they have a separate school of public health that you attended,
oh, yes.
or was it part of the medical
school?
No,
they
school?
Had a separate school of public
health. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Did you meet up with any people in that area of public health in Boston,
well,
Harvard, that were?
I can't remember the names, but uh-huh. General Simmons was the dean when I went up there.
Uh-huh.
And then there was a U level that was quite prominent.
Uh-huh.
But the students themselves were worthwhile. You could learn a lot from the students.
Yes.
And that's what the dean said to me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, I take a student from a B school
mm-hmm.
because he has something to offer himself. And that's what I learned, that these people all had jobs someplace.
Yes.
And they knew what was going on in the world of public health.
Mm-hmm. Did you see these students, as a different breed than those who attend medical school only?
No.
Were they a different kind of person who would give themselves to go into public health?
Well, most of them were physicians.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of their person, as a person, were they different kinds of people?
I didn't think
mm-hmm.
so.
Mm-hmm. Because the rewards from public health are not quite as great as private practice.
Well, that's what some people think.
Uh-huh. You think they were as
well,
great?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
My rewards were what I made them, and that wasn't
yes.
good.
Uh-huh. Well, you once said that you wanted to help those who had a hard time financing their way into medical facilities. And so I would imagine that your outlook and those who went to public health school was a little different.
Well, some of them were interested in others, and others were interested in their country. They were from 29 different countries.
Oh, I thought they were all American.
No.
I see. Was this for Pittsburgh a very different thing for someone to be going, a doctor to be going into public health?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Did you know any public health medical men or women here in Pittsburgh before you went?
Well, I don't think there was anybody here.
Right.
Except, the dean.
He wasn't here then.
He wasn't here yet. But they were messing around.
Yeah. They were starting.
I can't think
of it. Bill Conley, keep talking.
The dean of?
First dean of the public health.
The
he had a funny name. There's a building name.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come to me. Keep talking.
Yes.
We'll get it.
Okay. You worked with a Dr. Anderson. Anderson?
I met with Dr. Anderson, who was a public health specialist in TB.
Ah.
And it was just when I finished Harvard.
I see.
And he said, I'm going to a meeting in New York on 2B. Why don't you come along?
Uh-huh.
And I said, I don't know anything about TB. He says, well, you might learn something. So I went to New York,
mm-hmm.
and it was a very interesting meeting, and they were talking about a program that the main man was a Dr. Solomon from Chicago,
mm-hmm.
but there was a Dr. Goldberg or something like that. in Philadelphia.
Yes, you had mentioned Dr. Goldberg before.
Yes, that he had started a program, and they were looking for a doctor to follow up on it.
That was that BCG program told us about. Yes, I see. What was Dr. Anderson's first name? Did you know?
I can't.
You don't remember? Okay. Then I want to move on a little bit. You mentioned Dr. McElroy.
Yes.
And our former mayor, well-known mayor, Davy Lawrence. As people who were interested in setting up the public health...
The setting at Arsenal.
At Arsenal.
Yes.
What was Arsenal prior to their interest in it?
Arsenal was a marine hospital.
I see. Oh, and they wanted
to... And they wanted to give Lawrence the buildings. It was no longer a hospital. They gave Lawrence the buildings for a dollar.
Oh, my. Now, he approached you as well... Yes.
Yes.
As well. How did you happen to know Mayor Lawrence?
Well, he knew
me. This popular man.
He knew me.
He knew you. Good.
He knew me.
Your reputation preceded you?
Yes, he knew me.
Uh-huh.
And the dean, of course, knew me, and everybody agreed that I was the person.
Good. Had you ever treated Mayor Lawrence?
Treated him?
No. He just knew you by reputation?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, you were one of the rare women doctors around in the community.
Well, and nurses, too. They all knew me when I was a nurse.
Oh, I see. I see. And you told us that Dr. McElroy, and I assume Mayor Lawrence, brought in Dr. Mirsky and Dr. Bronson.
Yes.
Were they psychiatrists?
Bronson was a psychiatrist. Mirsky was a psychiatrist, but he was also a research man in chemo medicine.
I see.
Mirsky is a man who did a lot with diabetic women and what you can expect of them and their offspring.
I see.
He was a very good man.
And Bronson?
And Bronson was he was head of the whole thing. He headed the psychiatric division.
For Arsenal?
For the University of Pittsburgh.
I see. So he was for the University of Pittsburgh. He didn't actually come to Arsenal.
No, he came to... Well, he didn't actually come to Arsenal, no. The dean and whoever worked with him, they were bringing in a psychiatric department.
Yes.
And they brought in Bronson to head it.
Oh.
Now, Bronson wanted Mirsky on his staff, and he wanted Spock.
I
don't think that Bronson knew Spock like he should have known him before he wanted him to come.
But you knew him before he came.
Well, I just knew him by letters, and I didn't know him otherwise.
Oh, you didn't know him personally?
No, I didn't know him.
Because you had said something about that you helped bring Spock here.
Well, through letters. I encouraged him.
Oh, I
see. Told him that we would do everything we could to help him with his programs.
I see. So Bronson evidently was drawn by the fact that Spock had this wonderful book out.
Yeah.
Mothers were using.
And he was working at Mayo's.
Yes,
so
Rochester.
Yes, he had a good reputation.
I see.
But Spock was very difficult to work with.
Yes.
He was a great procrastinator, and he never knew what he wanted from one minute to the next.
Uh-huh. Well, this was later borne out in his behavior in later years.
Yes.
He never was quite sure which way he was going.
That's right.
Right. So was there also, the Arsenal was part of the county mental health?
Yes.
Right.
And we had students come from the University of Pittsburgh pediatrics department, a group every 6 weeks, and we had a secretary who assigned them a family, so that when they came back, they saw the same family every week for 6 weeks, so they could follow the family.
That was unusual, wasn't
it? Yeah, that was unusual.
Because most clinics, you get another doctor every time you come.
And he doesn't know what it's about.
Right, and even today that happens.
Yes, right.
Now, you said the Arsenal was formerly a big
a Marine hospital.
Marine hospital. But you only used a small portion of it.
We used all the buildings.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We used one building for maternal and child health. We used the main building for TB clinics and mm-hmm. and so forth. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used them all for something.
I see. So each, in that big arsenal, were you in one section?
I was in charge of the place.
Of the whole place?
Yeah.
Of the whole hospital?
Yeah, yeah, of all the buildings. It was no longer a hospital.
I see. But all the buildings were under county mental health?
Yes.
I see. So you were, Now, did you perform in any special role at the arsenal?
Only to manage. Mm-hmm. And then we had nurses. Excuse me. We had nurses from the health department, and we had visiting nurses.
I see. The VNA, what they call the VNA?
And they had offices there.
Uh-huh.
And we decided, the head nurses and I decided, that we ought to bring them together and have a combined nursing service.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the public health nurse just going out to see TB,
mm-hmm.
and the others going to maternity and whatever.
Right.
We bring them together, and only one nurse would go to a family.
Uh-huh.
And that was quite a program, and very, it was unusual, and it lasted a few years.
Mm-hmm. You mean it didn't go on that way?
No, I don't know why it closed. I was no longer there when it closed.
But while you were there, you were in effect an administrative head.
What's that?
You were, in effect, an administrative head.
Yes.
That was your role there, rather than treating patients.
That's right.
You didn't do any treating.
No.
Uh-huh. So Spock and whoever else came there, Eric...